chapter 15, the gospel record of Luke chapter 15. I want to publicly say how thankful I am for our music team here at Calvary. They're the best, aren't they? And someone told me one time, spiritual people always sing better. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't love the Lord, it really doesn't mean anything. And I thank God for every choir member, every person that sings a solo or a quartet or trio. I thank God for Miss Angie, every piano player, every guitar player, bass player. And I thank God for the men that serve in the sound booth back there. And we're a team striving to sing and minister for the audience of one. And what you see here is hours and hours of practice put together so that, first of all, God could be praised, but also that we could worship the Lord together. And I want to publicly say how thankful I am for each of the people on the team and their blessing. And I sure thank the Lord for Pastor allowing me this opportunity. I'm very thankful for it, and I don't take it for granted. I do think it will be appropriate. Brother Vernon mentioned this morning, but I want to praise the Lord again for five or six teenagers being saved yesterday at that basketball tournament. And it was such an encouragement. Everything was run so well. I thank the Lord for Brother Lane. I thank God for his wife. And praise the Lord for just seeing all the teens. There was lots of them that didn't come and didn't touch a basketball, but they served water and they served meals and they held doors and they parked cars. And that was such a blessing to see the teens own this. And if you give to the Lord here at church, if you prayed for yesterday, you were part of what happened here. And so can we praise God together? Wasn't that a blessing? And thank the Lord for the teenagers. Thank the Lord for Brother Lane. And praise God for his vision and what the Lord's doing. Well, have you found Luke chapter 15? Let's look at there at verse 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. If you like to highlight or underline things in your Bible, I want to encourage you to highlight the two words found in verse 2. It's going to be the title of tonight's sermon, the title and text, and our topic tonight. It's two words: this man. And there is no one like this man, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord, tonight our heart and our desire is that you would be glorified and uplifted. Thank you for the worship that we've already felt here this evening. And Lord, our prayer is that you would receive the glory in this message. Help us to be affected through the Bible and changed. Lord, help us this evening to say only what you would want us to say. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Most of you know that I grew up near Philadelphia, and I enjoy the Philadelphia Eagles. They're really my only hobby, okay? I really don't enjoy much else, but I love the Eagles, and they're awesome. But I grew up about 15 minutes from their training camp. If you don't know anything about football, if you don't know what training camp is, it's just their time during the summer to practice. They go over all the plays. They go over all the playbook. And so bless my mother, but she took me and my brother up to training camp during the summer all the time. And she had a lot of patience and lots of patience. How many of you have a mother that was full of patience? And so we would go up there all the time during the summer. The players were just as close as to me in the front row here. I mean, they were close. You get to talk to them, give them high fives, interact with them at Lehigh University there in Pennsylvania. Well, my favorite player growing up was number 5, Donovan McNabb. Number 5. This guy, I loved watching him play. I loved watching his every move he would make. I'd studied him, all this kind of stuff. And one year, the Philadelphia Eagles organization came up with this idea. They're going to get the fans, they're going to let them receive autographs for free from these players. Monday was quarterbacks, Tuesday was running backs, Wednesday was wide receivers, all this kind of stuff. And so me and my brother, they said, we are going to get Donovan McNabb's autograph. And the rule was the first 60 people in line got Donovan McNabb's autograph. And so me and my brother are like, what time do you think we should get there? He's going to sign at noon on Wednesday. What time should we get there? So at 2 o'clock in the morning, we shook our mom up, and we said, Mom, let's go to training camp, Lehigh University. And so we drove down there at 2 o'clock in the morning. Thank God for my mother. We drove down there at 2 o'clock in the morning, and would you believe there was already 120 people in line? And so we got the kicker and the third-string quarterback's autograph that day, all right? So that was this year. So my brother and I came home dejected. Who wants the kicker and the punter's autograph? I mean, no one wants that guy, okay? And so, although I do still have it, okay? And so we thought, okay, next year we're going to do a better job. So he signed at noon on Wednesday, and we got there on noon on Tuesday, 24 hours before. And so we were number 40, 41, and 42 in line. We got it. We made it. So we watched that Tuesday's training camp. We stayed afterwards, and, I mean, we hung out. We had a blast. We brought a tent there. We didn't sleep at all, but at least we tried to. We put a tent up there. Praise the Lord for my mom. She just had lots of patience, okay? So finally, 12 o'clock on Wednesday was there. 24 hours we waited. And we were in line, this little snake line. We were number one was up front, and then it got to number 20, number 30. And then my heart started racing and beating faster. I had my picture there. I had my Sharpie there. I got closer, and all of a sudden, I could see Donovan. There he was. I saw him. We got closer and closer and closer. And I had all practiced what I was going to say. I mean, I had all lined up what I was going to say. I practiced in front of the mirror, you know, what I was going to say, all this kind of stuff. And here I was. There's Donovan. I saw him. All of a sudden, here I was. Number 40, 41, 42. Here we were. I said, hey, Donovan. All right, or something like that. Okay, hey, Donovan. And he looks at me and said, hey. And you know what? I stood in front of him for like 6 seconds. And he didn't even autograph his whole name. It was like DM5, and that was it. And my brother, he looks at him and says, hey, can I have your wristband? I'm like, man, why didn't I think of that? All right, and so he gave him his wristband. I don't know where it's at, but I'm sure my brother probably still has the thing. But you know what? All that time, all that waiting, all the effort and energy for a hey and a DM5 on it, okay? That was a good memory. But I left like disappointed, dejected. But can I testify for a moment and say that when I was 11 years old, I had a much better encounter. And I had a life-altering encounter with a man named Jesus Christ. And I've never left Jesus disappointed. Amen. I've never left Jesus dejected. And by the way, I never had to be introduced to Jesus. He knew my name before that. And Jesus knew my name before I was even born. Jesus knew my name. That's the man that we're talking about tonight. That's this man. This man never failed me. He never forsook me. That's the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. I've run to Jesus to talk with him countless numbers of times, and I've never left disappointed. And when, by the way, I've never had to wait 24 hours to talk to Jesus. I've been given free access, and you, if you know Jesus, you've been given free access to him right now. You see, Jesus is not any ordinary man, because in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Yes, that's this man. John 7:46, the officers answered and said, never a man spake like this man. Luke 23:4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Mark 15:39. And when the centurion which stood against him saw that he cried out and gave up the ghost and said, truly this man was the Son of God. Amen. I like what a preacher said one time. There ain't nobody like this man. There ain't nobody like him. And do you know what the best thing about this man? This man receiveth sinners. He receiveth sinners. That's you and that's me. He receives sinners. To Jesus, You are welcome and you are wanted at the table with Jesus tonight. And so tonight, what does this man want to teach us? Are you ready to find out? Number one, this man is worthy enough to get close to. This man is worthy enough to get close to. Look back with me at verse 1. Would you look with me? Then, yell out the next two words, church. What's the next two words? Ready? Then drew near unto him. I have those two words underlined in my Bible. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. This man is worthy enough to get close to. They drew near. The publicans and sinners knew there was something different. There was something different about this man. He was no ordinary man. They wanted to see who this man was. They wanted to get close to this man. And I'm thankful and I'm glad that in 2023, Jesus still says, you can get close to me. He does not push us away. He only accepts us for who we are. Jesus does not cater to an elite crowd or a specific group. He loves everyone. He draws us in. This man is worthy enough to get close to. James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And can I tell you, church, you are as close to Jesus right now as you desire to be. This man is worthy enough to get close to. How many of you have a child that is no respecter of people's space? Do anybody have a child like that? They're no respecter of people's space. Our son Silas is not a respecter of people's space. We were at Kingtown Barber getting a haircut from Mr. Robert, Silas likes to call him. And we were waiting, and this older man comes walking in and sits down, and Silas looks at him and stands up, goes over to him, doesn't sit, I'm talking some space next to this guy he's never met, I'm talking right here next to this guy. He says, my name is Silas, I'm 4 years old, and we're going to the beach for my birthday. Has no respecter of people's space. I'm thankful Jesus doesn't care how close we get to him. He never pushes us away. Jesus allowed people to invade his space so that he could show us that he deeply loves people. Jesus says, hey, ma'am, hey, sir, you can get close. This man is worthy enough to get close to. Number two, this man is worthy enough to listen to. This man's worthy enough to listen to. We saw that we can draw near. Look at verse 1 again. Look at verse 1 again with me. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to. What's the next two words, church? To hear him. He's worthy enough to listen to. So the publicans and sinners see that there's something different about Jesus. They want to get close, but now they want to listen to what this man has to say. And they're listening to Jesus. And can I promise you tonight, they are listening intently to what this Jesus has to say. Do you know what our problem is in 2023 Christianity? Two things. We don't listen to God when he is speaking because we are so busy with too many meaningless things. And secondly, we are so consumed with so much noise to the point where if God would want to speak to us, we couldn't hear him. Always something dinging, always something beeping, always something going on. And if we're not careful, we will crowd God out of everything until it's convenient for us to listen to him. And if we're not careful, we will get used to God speaking to us. We'll get used to coming to an amazing church like this. We'll just get used to it. And you know what the publicans, you know what the sinners saw? They were eager and they were hungry to get close to Jesus and to listen. And in 2023, this man is worthy enough to listen to again. Amen. Dr. Raymond Barber, actually from this pulpit, he said something I'll never forget. He said, when we open the Bible, we open the mind of God. When we open the Bible, we open the mind of God. God speaks to us today through the inspired pages of Scripture. Everything God wants us to know is found in the Bible. There's nothing more he wants us to listen to or hear, and there's nothing less. It's all right here in the Scripture. And so maybe for this week, I'm talking to me, it may be good for some of us to turn off Facebook and get our faces in the book and let God speak to us. It may be good for some of us this week to put our phones down and put them to the side and let God speak to us. It may be good for some of us this week to turn off Fox News. Amen. Turn off Fox News. Turn off Newsmax. Turn off Tucker and Hannity and let God speak to us. And can I tell you, God wants to speak to us, no doubt he does. How many believe God wants to speak to us? The question is, are we in a position to hear him and when he does speak? I love what Samuel said in 1 Samuel 3:7. He said, "Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." The publicans and sinners, oh, they knew there was something different about this man. There wasn't anybody like this man. He was different. And they wanted to get close to him and they wanted to hear him. And Jesus is still speaking today, if we would only listen. There is no one like this man. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our troubles, and he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. This man is worthy enough to get close to, and he's worthy enough to listen to. There is no one like this man, the man Christ Jesus. But number three tonight, this is what I want to spend the rest of our time and what God specifically spoke to me about. Number three, this man is worthy enough to follow after. Number three, this man is worthy enough to follow after. Now, we've spent our beginning of our time in verse 1, and now we're going to spend the rest of our time in verse 2. Would you read verse 2 with me again? And the Pharisees and scribes, these are no longer the publicans and sinners, this is now the Pharisees and scribes, they murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." This man's worthy enough to follow after. First of all, he's worthy enough to follow after, number one, for salvation. Number one, for salvation. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they resented. They resented and they hated the fact that Jesus spent time and that he hung out with people who were the outcasts and who were the sinners. And so they hurled a charge at him. This man, what a charge. He receiveth sinners. What the religious crowd thought was blameworthy was actually the very purpose and fulfillment of why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Why did Jesus come to this earth? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The scribes and Pharisees, they were left fuming. How dare this man receive sinners? And so for the remainder of Luke chapter 15, we won't read it tonight, but the Lord answered this charge from the Pharisees and the scribes. And Jesus gave them three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And these parables were aimed directly at the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were just as lost as the publicans and sinners, but the scribes and Pharisees, they refused to admit it. And so what was the point of these three parables? Why did Jesus give these three parables? Here's the point. God receives joy in seeing sinners coming to himself. Jesus loves sinners, and Jesus receives sinners. And so tonight on March 5th, I believe that there's a good chance that someone in this room needs to come to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. I love the word here. This man, what's the next word, church? Receiveth. I love that word, receiveth. Do you want to know what the word means? Here it is. It means this: welcomed. Welcomed. To Jesus Christ, you are welcomed. Amen. Now, look at the next phrase here. And eateth with them. You can laugh if you want to, but is there anyone in your life that you can kind of tolerate for a little bit, but there's not a chance in this world that you're going to actually sit down and eat a whole meal with them? Not Jesus. He received, he welcomed, and he ate with sinners. Some churches, they specialize in welcoming and accepting people that look just like them. If you don't act or look just like us, you are not welcome into our group. You got to be cleaned up before you can come here. That's what they'll say. I'm thankful tonight that the lovely Lord Jesus isn't that way. He takes people just as they are. You see, here's the truth. All of us in this room, all of us, we have different backgrounds, we have different homes, we drive different cars, we have different financial statuses, we have different work positions, but all of us in this room have one thing in common, is that every single one of us are sinners. Every one of us have one thing in common. You may have a different background, you may come from a different place, you may have a different job tomorrow, you may have a different financial status, but every one of us are sinners in need of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all broken God's law. We cannot meet God's standard because he's a perfect, holy God and he's without sin. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Every single one of us are sinners. And you may be in here tonight and say, you may be here tonight and say, I get that Jesus welcomes sinners. I get that. But why would Jesus receive me? Why would Jesus receive a sinner? I sure am glad you asked. The simplest way to put it is the most famous verse in all the Bible in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever doesn't exclude anybody, that includes everybody. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What's the reason why Jesus came? Because he loves you. He loves you. He died for you. And the best thing is, he rose again the third day, and now he lives for you. He died for your sins so that you wouldn't have to. You may ask, okay, so how do I get this Jesus? God gives us a simple answer in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That whosoever is you and it's me. Jesus offers a free gift. A gift is simply received and not worked for. Jesus did everything that you need to receive salvation. You just have to take the gift. And can I tell you tonight? I grew up in a godly Christian home. I thank God for my mom and dad, two of the godliest people I've ever met. And they had me in church. I thank God they never let me miss church for anything. I praise the Lord for that. I was even baptized. I did all the right things. I knew the Ten Commandments. I memorized all the vacation Bible school verses. I got all the Christian character awards. But none of that earned me heaven. It was when I was 11 years old that I saw my need for Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, religious people still need Jesus. The scribes and Pharisees, they knew everything. They knew the law, they knew they could dot all the I's and cross all the T's, but they were without Jesus Christ. And it took the same blood of Christ to save me as anybody else. And you may sit here tonight and say, I can understand Jesus saving you. You didn't do nothing majorly wrong. You were a pretty good kid. But you don't know. You may say, you don't know what I've done. Jesus could never love me. I'm glad you asked that too, because in Matthew 9, verse 13, Jesus says, for I am come to call the righteous. I'm not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. In the same gospel record of Matthew chapter 9, you will find that Jesus received five different groups of outcasts who no one wanted. Number one, Jesus received and welcomed a paralyzed man. Number two, Jesus received and welcomed a woman with the issue of blood. Jesus received and welcomed a little girl and raised her from the dead, all in Matthew 9. Jesus received and welcomed two blind men and caused them to see. And Jesus received and welcomed a mute and dumb man who was possessed with a devil. This man receiveth sinners, and he wants to receive you tonight. Are you interested in some more examples? Here's some more. Luke chapter 19. Jesus came across a tax collector and a thief named Zacchaeus, and yet this man received a sinner. In John chapter 4, Jesus went through Samaria to a woman at the well who was a prostitute who had been with six other men, and yet this man, Jesus Christ, he received a sinner. In John chapter 8, the song that the trio sang just a few moments ago, the scribes and Pharisees, that same group, they brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in the act of adultery, and yet this man, this Jesus, he received a sinner. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus came across a maniac who no one loved and everyone had given up on. And yet this man, Jesus Christ, received a sinner. Jesus specializes in welcoming outcasts. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, there is nothing too dirty that Jesus Christ cannot make worthy. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." No one that came to Jesus was ever turned away. And he will not turn you away tonight, ma'am. He will not turn you away tonight, sir. You can run to Jesus. He will not cast you out. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Jesus, I do now receive him more than all. In him I find, he hath granted me forgiveness. I am his, and he is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. In a few moments tonight, if you are without Christ in this room, would you run to Jesus? You can have an opportunity to receive Christ as Savior. Many in this room have already done so, and they can testify that Jesus Christ has changed their life. Amen. He offers salvation freely as a gift. You don't have to do a thing. Just come to Jesus. Jesus is worthy enough to be followed for salvation. But I'd like you to see one more thing tonight. Jesus Christ is worthy enough to follow for souls, for the souls of men. This man is worth following for salvation, but also for the souls of men. You see, once you choose to accept Jesus, and I believe that's the vast majority of people in this room, but once you accept Jesus, true followers of Christ want to do everything and anything possible to help other people also accept Jesus Christ as Savior. For the Christian, the gospel is not the ending. The gospel is simply the beginning. Jesus specialized in attracting sinners, and he specialized in attracting the outcast. What did the Pharisees do to the outcasts? They repelled and they criticized them. They kept their distance. Look at verse 2 again. Would you look at the verse 2? And Pharisees and the scribes, what's the next word, church? They murmured. That's all the Pharisees and the scribes could do. All they could do was murmur. They mocked Jesus for receiving sinners. And did you know it was actually a sin for the Pharisees to eat with the outcasts? Here's the truth. The Pharisees could keep the Old Testament law, yet they had no love for lost souls. They could dot all their I's and cross all their T's, but they were disgusted. They were disgusted by sinners. And I want to say tonight, based on the authority of Scripture, if you are disgusted by sinners, you are not reflecting the heart of Jesus Christ. You are just like the Pharisees. What was the charge of these Pharisees and these scribes? The charge was this: this man receiveth sinners. And by the way, there's no more wonderful thing that could be said about the lovely Lord Jesus Christ than that he received sinners. How many are thankful he received you as sinner? And I want to say tonight, if we are true followers of Christ, we must too welcome sinners. During the 1800s, God greatly used D.L. Moody, especially in the inner city of Chicago. There was a little boy in Moody's Sunday school class that lived several miles away, miles and miles away. And he walked by himself to Moody's church every Sunday, several miles to the church and several miles back home. And someone asked the little boy, "Son, why don't you just go to a church that's closer to home instead of having to walk all that distance?" You know what the boy responded? He said, "Well, at that church, they love me at that church. They love me there." I want to ask everyone in this room, are sinners annoyances to you, or are they appointments to you? Sinners are everywhere if we would only look for them and see them as Jesus sees them. If you see sinners as disgusting and as outcasts, you will not pursue them. You will want nothing to do with them, just like the Pharisees. But if you see sinners as someone that Jesus Christ bled and died for, you will go after them. You will love them. You will follow this man, and you will help receive them as sinners too. And I want to ask every room and every person in this room tonight, every Christian, do you view sinners as Christ viewed sinners? The truth is, how you view sinners determines how you pursue sinners. If we are not careful, we as Christians can become professional commentators on how awful the culture is. Yes, the culture is awful. Why? Because the culture is without Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't go around commentating on how awful and wicked the culture is. Jesus Christ did something about the culture and brought people to himself, and we must too do the same as Jesus Christ. If a lost person were to scroll through our social media pages tonight or hear you speak at work tomorrow, is it obvious to the unsaved individual that you love sinners, or is it obvious that you are disgusted by sinners? What our culture does not need is another political figure this year or in 2024. Our culture needs one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. They need the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And maybe tonight, on March the 5th, some of us need to decide that we're going to put our keyboards down and go and tell an outcast world about the loving Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a real heaven and a real hell, and opportunities to give the gospel are fleeting away. Christian, do not forget where you came from or what you deserve. Someone around you needs this man. They need Jesus Christ, and God wants to use you. We are commanded by God to receive sinners. This is not an optional thing. This is a command from our God. Maybe instead of talking to and speaking to the same people, our bubble of friends at church every week, go look for someone that is alone and no one is speaking to, and learn to receive a sinner. Instead of shaking hands the same people every time we have handshaking time, go and find someone that may be looking uncomfortable and give someone the love of Jesus Christ. Isn't this what the church should be doing anyway? Loving people to Jesus Christ. Maybe some tonight need to grab a handful of gospel tracts at the door as you leave. Maybe some tonight need to determine you'll be part of the jail ministry. Maybe some are going to start coming to our Wednesday evening care outreach beginning in just a few Wednesdays. Or you'll claim your neighborhood for Easter Sunday. Or you'll witness to your coworker. Or witness to your lost family member during Thanksgiving or Easter. Everyone can do something to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ye to all the world and preach the gospel is not optional. It is a command from our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, he received sinners, and so should we receive sinners. We should welcome sinners. Jesus is worthy to follow after for souls and for salvation. In 1981, there was a young family of four who lived without Jesus Christ. And a church knocked on their door and invited them to church, 1981. Well, for 5 years, that church would not leave this family of four alone. And it was 1986. That family finally came to church. And that family trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen? That church had a bus ministry. And the bus director came to that lady that just got saved and that family and said, I need someone to cook bus breakfast for our workers. Can you do it? And so the lady said, sure, I'll pray about it. Goes home, talks to her husband, and said, can you believe this guy asked me to cook breakfast? I haven't cooked a day in my life. I have no idea how to cook. But she reluctantly agreed, and she learned how to cook. After a while, this lady began to notice a little girl that came on one of the buses. She was 11. And that lady began to love that little girl and receive that little girl and welcome that little girl. Little girl came from a difficult home. On Sunday morning, she would have to step over her dad's drunken body just to get to the front door to go on the church bus. The little girl's mom was addicted to drugs and died at the age of 44. But that lady from the church, she was always there. Through all of it, she welcomed, she loved, and received this little girl. She was there. Well, that little girl, she grew up, and she married a preacher. And that little girl had a husband, and that little girl and that husband now had three little children. And do you know who was in the delivery room for all three of those kids? Guess who was there? That bus lady. She was there for every one of those births. She welcomed an outcast. Every time one of those little kids, one of those three little kids that they had together had a birthday, that bus lady made a massive cake for them to enjoy. Remember that lady that didn't know how to cook? I want to introduce that lady and that little girl to you. Here's a picture of them on the screen. That's my wife, and that's Laura Klotfelter. Christy Cox, a couple years ago, she came up to me and she said, who's that lady that sits next to your wife? Is that her mom? I wanted to go into a deep explanation, explain everything. But I simply looked at her and said, yes, that's her mom. Remember a couple years ago during COVID, we asked all the family members to sit on one row together, and that the next row was blocked behind. I'll never forget, we came back to church and we couldn't fit all of Laura's family on one row. I said, Laura, you know, the back row will be blocked and then we'll sit two rows behind you. And I said, you know, we'll leave it to blood family. And she said, oh no, no way. You figure out some way for all of us to sit together because we're family. Joe Klotfelter, a faithful man, serving the Lord here for many years. Joe and Laura have a son, Chris, owns a Muay Thai kickboxing company in Winston-Salem. I can't tell you how many people Chris has brought to this church as a guest and seen many of them receive Christ as Savior. And Joe and Laura have another son, Ross. You know those Up Next videos that we show every week? He does all of that. And Ross and Ashley, him and his wife, they're impacting our teenagers. They help go to camp with them. Remember that little girl's drunken dad. His name is Earl. He's now a Christian. And he was sitting on the third row this morning here at church with his wife. And they're part of the Calvary Bible class. And I thank God for people that for 5 years, they faithfully went to the Klotfelter home every week and would not leave them alone. And they learned what it meant to welcome a sinner. I praise God for Jerry Mabe, who welcomed a sinner and knocked on Tiffany's door and Jessica's door and picked them up on the bus every Sunday. I thank God for Michael and Connie Mabe, who welcomed a sinner. I thank God for Steve and Hope Mabe, who welcomed a sinner. Thank God for Brandon Lawson, who welcomed a sinner. Thank God for Joe and Lori Young, who welcomed a sinner. Thank God for two people that are with Christ, Paul and Brenda Everhart, who paid for Tiffany to go to Calvary Christian School, who welcomed a sinner and loved a sinner. And I could name many, many more. But if you were to ask Laura and ask any person I just mentioned tonight if they're perfect, they would say no, and quite frankly, irritated and embarrassed that I'm even mentioning them from here tonight. But here's the truth. When Laura saw that 11-year-old little girl, she reflected the heart of Christ, and she welcomed a sinner. You see, our last point, Jesus is worthy enough to follow after. The gospel is not the ending, church. The gospel is just the beginning. And God has given me and Tiffany three precious kids and an amazing church family, and I can say this truthfully, I would not be standing here tonight if people did not welcome in a sinner. And I'm preaching to all of us based on the authority of Scripture that we must have the heart of Christ. Every one of us must have the heart of Christ. If you leave here tonight thinking about this sweet story about Laura or a group of people at Calvary, you've missed what this is all about. This is about this man, the story of Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of what God can do with people who will say, Lord, use me. It's about Jesus using ordinary people to welcome in a sinner. And God wants to use you too. Laura, I don't know who knocked on your door that first time in 1981, but I wish I could thank them. Because they love sinners. Calvary Baptist Church, your one decision to touch a soul could lead dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens to Jesus Christ. A whole family was changed, and my family was changed because of the action of one. Now, here's the truth, church. Somewhere in your corner tomorrow, or maybe around you tonight, there will be another Tiffany. There is a Jessica. There is an Ashley who needs to be received, and they need to be welcomed. They need to see that Jesus loves them. They are sinners. They are outcasts that Jesus gave his blood for and wants to receive, and he wants to use you to get the gospel to them. Hey, nursery workers, Calvary Club workers, life group teachers, Sunday school teachers, don't view those little kids as annoyances. View them as appointments. You never know. You might have another Tiffany in your class. This man, he bled and he died for sinners. And I'm speaking to someone tonight in this room, and you need Jesus. In just a few moments, would you come to Jesus? We're going to pray in just a moment. I want to ask everyone in this room tonight to make the decision that you will be about the ministry of Jesus. You will welcome sinners. In just a moment, can I ask you to come maybe to this old-fashioned altar and ask God to give you one? I'm speaking to someone tonight that you have an outcast in your life that doesn't need condemnation. They don't need criticism. They don't need judgment. They just need Jesus. And God wants to use you. There isn't anyone like Jesus. What a Savior. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is worthy enough to get close to. He's worthy enough to listen to. And Jesus is worthy enough to follow after. This man receiveth sinners. Would you bow your head with me across the auditorium? I'm going to ask two questions.